Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 26. The church in Antioch. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who were on going to Antioch, spoke to Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of Holy Spirit and of faith, and many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met in the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Amen.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We call it Malagasy Salama Tupko. Yeah, I'm very happy to be with you today. And I hope you will understand my English. Yeah, let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for that you are here with us and we are very happy to celebrate your name, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of the Lord. And now we have two opportunities to listen what you're going to say to us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure about you, but when I'm flying, I like to sit either in the window seat or in the aisle seat, definitely not in the middle seat, especially on long flight. In airplane, yeah, of course, yes. A man was sent the middle seat on the airplane, tired and wanting to sleep. He was irritated when a sweet young girl next to him with Down syndrome asked, "Mister, do you brush your teeth?" "Yes," he replied. "That's good. People who don't lose their teeth." A little later, she asked, "Mister, do you smoke?" "No," he answered. "That's good. People who do die." After a long silence, she turned to him again. "Mister, do you love Jesus?" "Yes, I do," he responded. "That's good," she added. "People who do go to heaven." Amen. The man was deeply touched by the young girl's boldness to talk about Jesus. He settled back in his seat, hoping there would be no more questions. Just then, the young girl turned to him and said, "Mister, ask the man next to you if he brushes his teeth." Yeah, dear church, presenting Jesus Christ to others should be essential to the understanding and profession of our faith. Proclaiming the good news of salvation to a hurting, bleeding, bruised and a fearful world is an obligation of love and the responsibility of every believer. We must remember that God has chosen the church. We who are his believing people to be the sole agents, instruments through whom his love and grace will reach the lost. Let me ask you personally, when did you last share your faith with an unbeliever? It is important for us not to think that the mission of the church only applies to foreign countries. The church has a very important role to play in the community at home. There is an urgent need today for us to re-examine in the light of Scripture what God intends as the church's mission in the world. We can so easily reach conclusion based on good idea without submitting them to the security of Scripture. This must mean a return to missionary methods and concepts as seen in the New Testament. It may also require learning about new patterns of evangelism and mission. Beloved, our understanding of mission cannot be shaped by the wisdom of human philosophy. Our understanding of missions cannot be shaped by winsome philanthropy. Wanting to do good and be a friend to mankind, our understanding of mission cannot be motivated by warm feelings and new ideologies. It must rather be based on sound biblical theology. Our understanding of mission must always be based on the Word of God. If we are to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ with spiritual authority to our generation, it is essential that we rediscover the mission of the church. The church in Antioch, in Acts 13, highlights some indispensable truth about the church that is sold out to God's mission. I believe that the Christian in Antioch present an excellent example of mission supporting the fullest meaning of the word support. We in the 21st century can learn greatly from a study of their openness to the Holy Spirit, their dedication to the Lord's work, and their world vision. Support in terms of prayer, understanding, cooperation, and sincere commitment were characteristic of the members of this church. First, a church committed to mission is aware of the Holy Spirit's leadership. We must realize that missionary course of any church is ghosted by the spiritual awareness of that church. The church in Antioch appears to have been particularly sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This church had an exalted view of Christ as the head of the church. It is in the context of worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Let's read it. It's an act. We know, I believe we may know it. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. I read it in the name of Jesus. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And this was continued in the places where they shared the gospel. You may ask, how did Barnabas and Paul get to Antioch in the act that our sister read before? It would appear that some of the believers who were scattered by the persecution that followed Stephen's death traveled no far to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. In their witnessing, they spoke the word to Jews only. Eventually, some of the Cyprus and Cyrene who heard the gospel in Jerusalem came to Antioch and began witnessing to the Greeks as well. They could not keep the good news of God's love to themselves. They had to share it with someone, anyone. And this they did at Antioch. Their witness was in words, deed, and life, and many Gentiles became to believe in Jesus Christ. Report of the success of the gospel in Antioch reached the church in Jerusalem. Barnabas was sent to evaluate and encourage this exciting new work. Not New York, new work. I tried to practice it last night. New work or new work? Sorry, yeah. This new work among the Gentiles. Barnabas rejoiced as he witnessed God's grace at work among the Gentiles. He encouraged the new converts to be true to the Lord. When the workload became too much for Barnabas, he thought about Paul. Barnabas went to Tarsus and persuaded Paul to return with him to Antioch. Barnabas and Paul served together in Antioch for the next year. Verse 26, as we heard on the reading of Acts 11, makes the declaration, the disciples were first called Christian in Antioch. Dear church, the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit must be acknowledged in calling, equipping the directing of those who participate in missions. We are fully aware of the Holy Spirit's work in evangelism. In the person-to-person evangelism course, you may know already, Michael Green points out that we should not be anxious or fearful about evangelism. We can relax because it's not us, but the Holy Spirit who brings the people to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts people of sin. It is the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus glorious. It is Holy Spirit who baptizes people into Christ. It is Holy Spirit who brings new birth. It is the Holy Spirit who assures us that we belong to Jesus. Missions is also very much the work of the Holy Spirit. The early church was Holy Spirit-guided community of believers. They depended on the Holy Spirit for leadership. We cannot do otherwise in the 21st century. Yeah. A church committed to mission is aware of the Holy Spirit leadership. We ought to understand that missions undertaken for the Lord must be done under guidance of the Holy Spirit. A church committed to mission is aware of the Holy Spirit's leadership. Like I heard here yesterday evening, you understand that? Yeah. And second, a church committed to mission is aware of the world's greatest need. I have no doubt that the church in Antioch saw men in bondage of slavery. They saw men bound in the darkness of ignorance. They saw people bound in the clutch of tradition and culture. Antioch, the third largest city in the Roman Empire, was known for its culture. They saw men in the grip of starvation and disease. They saw men in desperate poverty. But more importantly, the church saw men as hopelessly lost without Christ. It was to this need that the early church dedicated herself. Dear friend, the lost really have no answer to their problem. They have no purpose in life. Remember how Jesus saw them harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The church in the 21st century faces a similar decision with regard to the lost. Poverty and the conflict are still major problems in our world today, especially in Africa. Political instability and corruption are a problem in many countries in Africa and increasingly in Europe too, I think, today. Socioeconomic reform and development is desperately needed. Natural disaster, cyclone, drought, and disease are devastating my country, Madagascar, and also our continent, Africa. The church is burdened with the task of social renewal. But we ought to expend our energies toward spiritual rebirth, sharing our faith in Jesus with people is to share the deep concern of God's heart of humanity. God has a deliberately and a definite plan to redeem every lost person of every tribe, of every race, and every nation. Scripture teaches the Lord is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Dear friends, the world is full of pain and problems, sorrow and suffering. It's tempting to spend a lot of time and resource to treat the surface symptoms and feel that we have done our part. We need to deal with the heart issue. We need to tell people that their sin can be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. they need to know that if they confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, they will be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we do in the south of Madagascar. It's not enough to bring rice, beans, water, but they need to be born again, to be saved. And they will be have a hope like us today. We already, today I feel like we are in heaven, celebrate already. Yeah. And many people need to have that hope that we have today. Yeah. Beloved, we must challenge people to repent from sin and to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there is a pressing need for us to reassess our approach and method in reaching the lost. If we seriously want to meet the world's deepest and greatest need, we need to be doing a lot more than we are engaged with at present. According to Scripture, the greatest need worldwide still is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Repentance from sin, faith in Christ alone, and new life in Jesus. I know it's maybe difficult, like we talked yesterday, it's really difficult to talk about faith here in Deutschland. Yeah. But yeah, I encourage you, we do it even if, because it's for their good. That we want people to be with us in heaven. Yeah. 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 And secondly, we have to assist with pressing needs like hunger, and the first medical needs and the socioeconomic needs. The surprise things about the church in Antioch is that persons from all races heard, believed, and were saved through the preaching of the gospel. If you read Acts 13 from verse 1, you will find that the leadership of the church was multicultural. Like your church here, from different country, from different culture. Too. And that's really richness. Dear church, racial prejudice hinders the work of mission. Racial prejudice prevents the effective spreading of the gospel. It challenges our sincerity and dissipates, bring to nothing our witness, and give great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. Christians at Antioch appear to have been relatively free from racial prejudice. Their concern of the lost and their care of the fellow believers knew no limits. Remember that they demonstrated the truth that the church is really the church to the extent that is committed to something outside herself. The church in Antioch did not exist for herself. You see, a church committed to missions is aware of the world's greatest need. And the third, a church committed to mission is aware of her responsibility. The church responded readily as their leaders had done and commissioned Barnabas and Paul for the work. This meant that they will be losing two of their main leaders. But they were willing to do so for the sake of the kingdom. The laying of hands was a confirmation of Barnabas and Paul's calling and the commitment of the church's prayer for them. Dear church, have you sent someone? What is your responsibility toward the worker that are first into the harvest field from your church? Are you personally involved in supporting them in prayer? Are you providing the emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial support they need to be effective in ministry? A church committed to missions takes her responsibility seriously. This responsibility involves sending, supporting, sacrificial giving, visiting them, and let's not forget, prevailing prayer. Friends, there must be believers like Barnabas and Paul in this church who are called to go and in obedience to the Spirit call are prepared to go. How are you going to help them to prepare, and how are you going to support them individually and as a church? Remember, a church committed to mission is aware of the Holy Spirit's leadership. A church committed to mission is aware of the world's greatest need to make disciples. A church committed to mission is aware of its responsibility. Are you ready? Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here. You feel your presence with us. And Jesus, we know, and you have people in this church too. You call them to go for a mission here or abroad. And Jesus, I'm very happy that with this church today really love you. I know you bless them. And I ask you again to bless them more. And they will meet too, that they will realize too, and they will aware what all of this need and concern. And bless them, and bless to the one who's already on the field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.